Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Get your matcha now, friends. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining both myself and my co-host, Garrett, in the studio today for a stimulating discussion about news. Well, not exactly news, Garrett. It's a newsworthy clip.
Right? It is worthy of news. Cheers, everyone. Hello.
Yeah. I mean, typically when we say news, we mean like something that happened today that is of some significance in the region. Or the area.
Right,
something you should know.
The other part of that is that it is new. So maybe what we're talking about today is new to you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bit of a lag time in production here, but nonetheless, it's fairly current and it's definitely something you should know. And more to the point, we're going to use language that you aren't always exposed to in your average English class. Today, our lesson, I suppose, is titled Garrett, I always say this wrong. Tell me if I say it wrong. Matcha is in demand and prices are rising. Did I get that right? You say it the way you say it.
You said it in a fun way. I would say matcha.
You're so sophisticated with your language use.
I know.
Matcha.
Matcha.
I think of it as green tea. Myself.
That, I mean, it is green tea. That is
Yeah, but
it
it's
is.
Like powdered green tea. This
right.
is like, the, it's like a Japanese specific type of tea. I'll be honest, listeners, I have never paid too much attention to matcha because I don't really like it. My wife is a big fan, though. She, you know, like you get the matcha chocolate bars and matcha ice cream and, you know, so obviously you like it.
Well, it's fine. It's not my favorite. I used to run a coffee shop before my time here at the company. And at one point, our owner started to sell matcha lattes. Before that, we would just make regular, you know, espresso-based drinks.
Yeah.
But we had to start making matcha drinks. And it was the worst because, like you said, it's a powder, but it's really hard to get it to dissolve into the drink, especially if someone orders it iced. So they just end up with this like powdery iced milk
and it powder residue so around the edge.
Yeah.
It's hard, yeah. Oh, nonetheless, despite Garrett's struggles with making matcha drinks and my I'm not going to say I don't like it. I just have a complete lack of interest in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But despite our more negative leaning views of matcha, it is in demand, which means it is popular. People are using it everywhere. And as a result, the prices are rising. That's why in the introduction, I said, get your matcha now, because prices are going up, friends.
Right.
We're going to discuss this a little more today, but first we have to do our reading. We're going to do two readings today. We're going to ask Campbell to do them for us again. And if you have your Advanced magazine, I would encourage you to open it up so you can read along with Campbell. If you don't have your magazine, I would encourage you to get out there and get your magazine so you can help support our program. Well, Garrett, are you ready?
Let's do
Campbell, you ready? He's ready. Let's do it.
Matcha is in demand and prices are rising. Matcha is traditionally whisked into hot water in Japanese tea ceremonies meant to promote contemplation. But today, it is used in smoothies, lattes, bubble teas, baked goods, and ice cream in noisy coffee shops and cafes. Its star has risen sharply in recent years as younger generations seek the health benefits associated with the antioxidant-rich beverage. It is reputed to give a gentler energy boost than coffee and to aid focus. The best quality tea is thought to be grown in certain regions in Japan, though other countries such as China and Vietnam also cultivate matcha. Because there is a limited supply, especially of superior grades, Demand has outstripped supply, causing prices to rise. Jorge Bruchet, co-owner of Mikusu Matcha Tea House in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, said, "The whole world is catching up to matcha. All these huge major companies like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, they're starting to advertise matcha. The popularity of Asian dessert cafes like the New York-based Mango Mango and Japanese chain Kyo Matcha has also multiplied matcha awareness with green-tinted lattes and bobas."
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Campbell. Oh, Garrett, this is what you were talking about. Matcha is traditionally whisked into hot water in Japanese tea ceremonies. Now, whisked.
Right.
There's whisked. A tool called a whisk, right? It's like a little handle with a bunch of wires that are looped around on the end?
Essentially. And then when you use it, we'd say the verb is to whisk something. You might do this when you're making baked goods. You often whisk something like eggs to make something like a cake.
You do this to mix things, right?
Yeah, but it's not just stirring around in a circular motion. It's a little bit more vigorous than
you're
that.
You're kind of whipping it to increase the volume, or in the case of the tea, I think you get kind of a froth,
yes,
which would be like a bubbly kind of
layer. There's like a very specific kind of like wooden tool that they use to whisk this matcha.
Oh no, I only have a metal whisk. See, I can't even make good matcha. Even if I tried, I don't have the right tools. Nonetheless, you're supposed to whisk it into hot water. And I think this next part here is linked to Garrett's frustration, right? These ceremonies were meant to promote contemplation, which means kind of careful thought.
Yes.
You sort of relax your body and you allow your mind to think.
Which is not what's happening in a busy coffee shop
where someone says, "I need 12 matcha lattes for my coworkers."
Yeah.
Get moving, Garrett. Ice lattes, nonetheless, they say. Yes. Okay. So, and that, of course, is the next sentence. But today it's used in smoothies, lattes, bubble teas, baked goods, and ice cream, and in noisy shops and cafes. So that's you. Noisy shop and cafe.
Absolutely.
Making all these other things. Do you think there's any need to discuss what these things are?
I think people will be mostly familiar with these. We'll see another term later on in this section. For one of those, sometimes we'd say bubble teas here in the U.S. Often the more familiar term for people would be boba.
Listeners, if you're not familiar with these terms, smoothies, lattes, bubble teas, baked goods, and ice cream, feel free to jump on our social media and ask, and we'll make sure somebody answers them. It'll also give us a good way of gauging how good your English at home really is. Because, you know, in a lot of ways, this is a one-way conversation. It's hard for us to gauge things like speed and which words to teach, things like that. So any feedback like that is always welcome. Jump in and join the conversation. It continues to say, "Its star," it here being matcha's star, "has risen sharply." That's actually an idiom, right?
Yeah.
The rising star? What does that mean?
That would mean its reputation has gotten better or increased.
Its popularity even, right?
Yeah.
"In recent years, as younger generations seek the health benefits associated with the antioxidant-rich beverage." Now, you're going to have to help me out here. Obviously, you were marketing this stuff. What are these health benefits?
Well, I'm not totally sure.
I mean, antioxidants, right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. People say that about things like red wine, right?
Blueberries.
Sure.
Yeah.
And of course, matcha is green, and green things are healthy, right?
Yeah, just a word on antioxidants. My understanding is they're meant to help detoxify your body to prevent things like cancers. So they help remove I'm using the word toxin here without explaining what toxin is, but like poisonous things in your body that are otherwise difficult to remove. That's kind of the idea. So there are, I imagine, a range of health benefits to that, but this has become one popular source of this kind of health trend, I guess you would say. "It's reputed to give a gentler energy boost than coffee and to aid focus." Does one really want a gentle energy boost at any time when one is tired, Garrett?
Well, I just imagine that the reason for that is just that there's less caffeine, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing, you know, I don't know. One of the odd things about being, you know, a foreigner in an office with people on the island here is observing your local coworkers constantly drink tea, which is not a thing that we do naturally in sort of North American office culture, right?
Not usually.
Yeah. I mean, we go out for coffee breaks and things like that, but the steady drinking of tea throughout the day by many people, it's kind of a different approach to life. So yeah. I imagine the matcha maybe allows for a steady feed of caffeine into the body.
Yeah, it's
to
a little
help
different.
You avoid the highs and lows of coffee.
It's not like other teas, like tea leaves or a tea bag that you can steep more than once, because you're directly just drinking it in. Mm. And so you'd have to have more and more of it.
All right, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. It's possible. All right, let's move on to the next paragraph. The best quality tea, it tells us, is thought to be grown in certain regions in Japan, though other countries such as China and Vietnam also cultivate matcha. Oh, Garrett, now we're going to get into the money. What's the reason for this?
That is
crunch.
Because there is a limited supply. There's not a lot of it, especially that good stuff from Japan.
The superior grades. Yeah, so obviously when the tea comes from the farm, there's a system for assessing the quality of the tea, and that contributes to the price that you'll be able to get for the tea, right? And so superior grade would be the highest grade of tea, and there's a very limited supply of that high grade of tea. Of course, your average person in a California coffee shop is not going to settle for less than a superior grade of matcha in their matcha latte. So there's a lot of demand for this excellent, high-quality, elite, VIP matcha, if you will. And so demand has outstripped supply. Outstripping? What's that?
Essentially, it has exceeded the supply. So there is more demand than there is matcha to go around.
I will pay $10 for that matcha latte. No, no. I will pay $15. No, no, I will pay 20. That's sort of what's going on, right? And so the price is going up. We then had this name, you know, when I see this, I say George Broach, but Campbell had a different take and you had a different take too.
Yeah, Campbell said Jorge Broche. I thought it was Jorge Broche.
You know, it's interesting because I remember my wife who, you know, it's one of her hobby languages is Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling me that J's are H's in Spanish,
yes,
right?
This is correct.
So Jorge kind of makes good sense there. And what would you have said for the—
Well, his name is definitely Jorge.
And you would have said Broche?
Broche.
Broche.
Well, because in Spanish, you would pronounce that CH kind of like we do in English.
It's interesting. Like, we all come from these different second language backgrounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your Spanish influences you, my French influences me.
Exactly.
Poor Jorge. I hope one of us has got his name right anyway. Okay. So this gentleman is a co-owner of this tea house, this matcha tea house, which presumably specializes in the serving of matcha tea. The whole world is catching up to matcha. All these huge major companies like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, they're starting to advertise matcha. But Garrett, I bet they're not selling the superior grades of matcha.
I don't know. Maybe at Starbucks. Not at Dunkin' Donuts, though.
Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with Dunkin' Donuts. Do we have Dunkin' Donuts?
No. I've never been to a Dunkin' Donuts we don't have a lot of them on the West Coast in the U.S.
It's a classic-style donut shop in the North American setting, which means it's, you know, typically donut shops were popular for break times among people who were working out, meaning like construction workers and people who were sort of on the go during their workday, salespeople, you know, things like that. If you're
it was more of a breakfast food for
really?
Us. Yeah.
The donut?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
At least in our family.
Okay. So typically in these places, I mean, you go into a store and it's just a bunch of donuts, different flavors of donuts. Now, our listeners will be familiar with that sort of donut shop, but what they won't be familiar with is the strong connection to black coffee.
Right.
So the typical North American break time thing is coffee and a donut. So this wading into the matcha world is actually signals like a culture shift among generations in North America, right? They already mentioned younger people were into matcha. And so the Dunkin' Donuts wading in. When this person mentions Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, they're basically saying all of society is getting into this, from the low-end construction worker who just wants coffee and a donut to your Starbucks person who's, you know, fancy.
You know, next time you're in Canada, you'll have to check Tim Hortons, see if they have any matcha.
Tim Hortons. They do. They do.
They do?
Yeah, okay. I was recently there. Yeah, it's true. So basically, they're emphasizing here with this language that this is a big shift into the matcha. The popularity of Asian dessert cafes, now this is something I had not come across because it's in New York City, Mango Mango, they talk about here, and Japanese chain Kyo Matcha?
Sure.
All right, good. Has also multiplied matcha awareness with green-tinted lattes and babas.
Bobas.
Yeah, that's, of course, the Jinju, the pearl, right? Yep. There we go. So basically, it's appearing everywhere. That's the lesson we're taking from this. And that leads us to our second reading. Let's do it together now.
Migusu sources its tea from farms in the Aichi Prefecture in Japan, known for its rich soil that produces high-quality matcha. Brochet said these farms were completely sold out of matcha for several months last year. The formerly stagnant but now booming Japanese matcha industry, which sends 78% of its supply to the U.S., has been slowed by record high temperatures and shortages. Prices have risen from the store's suppliers. Mikusu has been forced to raise its prices somewhat, Brochet said, though we don't want to scare our customers away. The great thing about our business is we're able to get good prices for matcha for our customers because we buy a tremendous amount in bulk, he said. Though there are current matcha shortages and price uncertainties, Brochet, who drinks classic matcha every day himself, sees an upside. It's exciting that consumers love matcha so much that demand is growing.
All right. Thank you again, Campbell. So, Mikusu, this is that dessert shop, right?
Am I correct about this? This is the tea house in Pittsburgh.
Pardon me. The tea house gets its tea from farms in the
Aichi Prefecture in Japan.
I love the word prefecture.
It's a great word.
I mean, basically in the U.S., you have states, right? In Canada, we have provinces. In Russia, they have oblasts. And in Japan, they have prefectures. So they're sort of describing a region. It's a political entity too, though. It's known for rich soil that produces high-quality matcha. We're then told that these farms were completely sold out of matcha for several months last year.
I imagine a lot of these shops have to like order it well ahead of time, maybe before they're even grown.
Especially if you're independent, you know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I imagine Starbucks is wading in and contracting with large numbers of farms, right?
Yeah.
To sort of supply directly. But if you're buying it from the market, a little trickier. It says the formerly stagnant but now booming Japanese matcha industry. Now, stagnant means nothing going on, right? Like we use it to describe pond water that is
something
not moving.
Something that's not moving, yeah.
Yeah, so the idea there would be that for probably hundreds of years, there was sort of a set demand for matcha within Japan, but not beyond that. So it, you know, people could make a living at it, but the business was not growing. It was not a subject of export, etc. Nothing was really changing or happening. But now it's booming, meaning it's growing very, very quickly. And, you know, that growth is illustrated, I suppose, in what we're told here. 78% of the supply is sent to the U.S., but that has been slowed. The exports, the flow has been slowed by two things, Garrett.
That is by record high temperatures and shortages. And so, of course, things that are grown are affected by environmental factors. High temperatures will mean they won't grow quite as well.
Yeah. Tells us that prices have risen from the store's suppliers. And so they've been forced to raise their prices. Oh, here's a beautiful little quotation mark surrounded somewhat. Yeah, what's that mean?
Basically, they're saying they have raised their prices, but not too much, just a bit.
This is that tricky zone where they make the cup a little bit smaller. Or they put like
shrinkflation.
A centimeter less of liquid in the cup. There's like a little space more at the top or whatever, where, you know, they haven't had to raise the price dramatically. It's not a huge increase. They've been forced to raise their prices somewhat, though they don't want to scare their customers away. Dun, dun, dun.
They want to stay in business.
Why would they be scared, Garrett?
Well, the customers want the matcha.
Yeah. And if it was hugely expensive, like double the price, they might not go for the matcha.
Yeah.
They would be scared away. That's the idea. The great thing about this business is that they're able to get good prices for matcha for their customers because they buy a tremendous amount in bulk. That's a good lesson right there, hey? Now, I have a question for you here.
Okay.
Matcha, you've mentioned it's powdered. You've had some experience working with it.
Yeah.
How is this different from normal tea?
Well,
like you, the word we use for when you, I mean, we say, I don't know, even know how to describe this. You'll have to help me out. We steep normal tea, which means we kind of soak it in water so that the...
You extract things out of the leaves and into the water, essentially with this.
But the catch is, like, so there's different ways you can do normal tea, right? Like there's the classic Western tea bag.
Mm-hmm.
Here often on the island, people just do loose leaf tea.
Right.
Where you just kind of pour it out and then you don't. But we don't eat the tea. Like we don't drink the tea. We have like the flavor of the tea in the water. But with the matcha, you're like eating the stuff.
Yeah, it's right in there with the water. You're consuming it with it. And there's a parallel in coffee as well. If any of you have ever had something called Turkish coffee,
or
it has a couple of other names in other places, it's ground really finely, even finer than espresso. And then it's in the cup with the water. And so you kind of eat it as you drink the coffee.
So it's like it doesn't settle at the bottom?
It settles a little bit. But
so you're drinking some of it?
You're drinking some of it.
Is that also true with the matcha?
I think the matcha is a little bit more incorporated in the water. And so normally you drink all of that.
Like I don't understand how this works here. Does it dissolve into the water? Or is it like
I think so.
All that whisking, it's like suspended in the water?
I think it dissolves, but I could be wrong.
Like it's spread throughout.
You want it to dissolve. If you don't stir it well enough, like sometimes...
That's why it's hard to do with the cold drinks.
Yeah. And so my trick was always to mix it in with hot water first and then put it over the ice.
And then ice it.
Yeah.
And that worked?
Most of the time.
Except you got that line of powder.
Yeah. As it cools.
As you quietly cursed under your breath. No, stupid matcha. Why are we doing this matcha? I don't know. Okay.
It's a lot of trouble.
All right. So basically back to our article here. Now that we have a greater understanding of what is going on with the matcha in your cup, they're buying this powder in bulk. And that means they can get it more cheaply. And consequently, they can charge less to their customers. Presumably.
Yeah. After all, they are a matcha tea house. Presumably, they need to go through a lot of it.
Huge amounts of matcha. Yeah. Though there are current matcha shortages and price uncertainties, our tea house owner here, who drinks classic matcha every day himself, sees an upside. What's an upside?
Something good about a situation.
Now, what could possibly be good about higher prices?
Well, it's exciting that consumers love matcha so much that demand is growing. Of course, when you love something a lot, it's great to see other people appreciating it as well.
I think this guy's thinking about franchising his matcha tea shop, don't you?
Well, he'll need more supplies of matcha for that to become a reality.
Yeah, he's going to have to be contracting directly with large farms to see what he can get out of this. Okay, so what do we got here? Let's do a quick review of what we have learned today about matcha. We've learned it's this Japanese traditional style of taking tea. From our co-host, Garrett, we have learned that it's you actually drink the tea leaf here.
Yep.
Wait. Let's back up again. I have another question.
Okay.
Is this tea leaves that are ground to fine powder?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not some, it is literally just tea leaf.
I think so.
That's ground down.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you suspend it in the water. We drink it. Why do we do this? Well, because it has health properties.
And because it aids in our contemplation.
Yeah. But not for the guy in the coffee shop who's making it for you. We found that out too. Consequently, it's become very popular across society. So from the low end to the high end, it's starting to be placed in all kinds of things, not just drinks, but desserts and all kinds of things added into things. As a result, demand has grown. There have been a few reasons that demand hasn't been met. One is just the scale of the demand. Another one is there were some agricultural conditions that were in play there, high temperatures. And as a result, this demand has pushed up the price. So now the price is high for matcha, and there are mostly bad things about that. The price of drinking matcha is going up, but there are some good things because it indicates for people who are in the matcha business that matcha is becoming broadly accepted and more popular. What do you think? Fair summary?
I think that's good. Before we finish, though, there is one word that we didn't talk a ton about. We heard that it is reputed to give a gentler energy boost than coffee and to aid focus. If something is reputed to do something, it has that reputation.
Oh, thank you. Good catch. I'm exhausted from my summary, Garrett. You're going to have to close
out this
program.
Maybe you need some matcha.
What a good idea. But it's a gentle boost, not a quick one like coffee. So
right.
We're not going to get a boost from that matcha before the end of this program. You better close it out for us today.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, friends. Of course, come back again for another great lesson. That's all for today. My name is Garrett.
And I'm Simon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.